morning we're going to start with the healing of Bartimaeus. Or is it Bartimaeus?
I think it's Bartimaeus.
Bartimaeus, okay. In Matthew chapter 20, beginning with verse 29, and then we'll go to Luke 18. First of all, Matthew 20, verse 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" They say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Okay, and then we go to Mark. I like to read what each gospel says about it. But Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 46. And they came to Jericho. Now in Matthew it says they departed from Jericho. And in Mark 10, verse 46, it says they came to Jericho. Now, you know, people who want to discredit the Bible say there's a contradiction here. Were they coming to or were they leaving?
Does it matter?
Well, yes, it matters. And there is an explanation, but I'm going to leave that for a little bit. But, you know, people are looking for ways to discredit the Bible because the Bible tells them who they really are.
Yes.
And they don't like it. But I like it because the Bible told me who I am, and then it also gave me the answer to solve the problem of who I am.
Yeah.
Without Christ, I'm a sinner and on my way to hell. And that's where I was until I was 18 years of age. Even though I was religious and I went to a church and I played the piano and I sang in the choir, but you know what? I wasn't saved. I loved going to church, though. And I learned a lot of facts in the Bible when I went to church, but you know, God really used even that experience to help me to grow. And we'll see. It drew me to him. And I wanted to know him. I remember that when I was going to that church, which did give the gospel, but they didn't make it personal. And they didn't show me how to be personally related to Christ. But I came to know him when I was 18, and I'm glad for that. Well, in Mark chapter 10, they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, so in Matthew 20, they departed from, but here they came to, and then as they went out, so Mark doesn't necessarily disagree with Matthew, but Luke says away from and unto. We'll come across that. And as they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he would hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now, the blind man was making a mistake that a lot of us make when we pray. We pray in a general way. Lord, bless this missionary. Lord, bless that, the pastor. Lord, help these people. Well, we're not being specific. But Christ asked this blind man to be specific. What did he really want? What was he really asking for? Not just, have mercy on me. The fact that he was still alive was mercy, wasn't it? And then over here in Luke, in Matthew and Mark, he was departing from Jericho. And in Luke it says, and it came to pass as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. Let's see. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace, but he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. So he kept asking for mercy. And then Jesus said, and Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. So, here it was when he was coming to Jericho, and in Matthew and Mark it says he was departing from Jericho. Well, let's see. And in Matthew there were two blind men, and in Luke there's one here. And in Mark, it was blind Bartimaeus. His name is put in there. Anyway, is there a problem with Jericho here? Is the Bible contradicting itself? No, it's not. If there are some apparent contradictions in the Bible, things that we think are contradictory, but God has an answer for them. And I just believe what God says. And I don't try to look for these things that unsaved theologians do, but a lot of them are unsaved too. So Mark and Luke, away from and unto, was Christ coming or going? Well, I'm going to give you four possible solutions, and you pick one. And it really doesn't matter. The Bible's true all the way. He met the same men twice, maybe, would be the first solution. And the second one is there are three different events. It's probably not probable, but it could be, because in one there were two blind men, and in the other one there was one. So it could be two. He healed blind people all the time, didn't he? And only in Mark, I think, is Bartimaeus mentioned, or Bartimaeus. And let's see, I don't think he's mentioned by name in Luke, but just Mark. So he could have healed a blind man when he entered and also when he left.
Or different one each time.
So that's the third solution. Mm-hmm. And the fourth is there were two cities of Jericho. This is the one I think is true. The old and the new. And he may have met them between. But anyway, there's an answer in those four. But you see, the people that want to discredit the Bible don't look for solutions, they look for problems. When I look at the Bible, I'm looking for solutions. Solutions to help me in my life. And God has answers. And I don't question him. I just study, and hopefully I can show myself approved unto God with my study. And I love the life of Christ, and I love studying about him. You know, he was our example, but he was also our Savior. And without his coming to save, and I'm going to point out a special verse in the next section in Luke that I think you'll like because of its simplicity. But any questions on or comments that you might have on the healing of Bartimaeus?
What is your
Bartimaeus?
What do you think? How do you resolve that issue?
Well, I think there's an old and new Jericho, and he could have healed people when he came in and when he went out. Those are my two that I would hang on to. Mm-hmm. And what I like, too, is being specific in our requests to the Lord. I know sometimes I'm not. When I pray, I thought, okay, as I was studying this, I should, I think of where we are and what's going on. And I don't think we should have repetitious prayers. It's okay to pray the Lord's Prayer because that's what he taught his disciples to pray. But to just repeat prayers for repeating prayer's sake, I think it needs to come from our hearts. And we need to be very specific about what we're asking the Lord. Like Charlie has a bad back this morning. We need to pray that the Lord will give him relief from the back.
Amen.
And not just bless Charlie, but give him some relief from the pain.
Yes.
See, so that's what God means when he says, be specific. Mm-hmm. Now, Charlie has probably prayed and asked the Lord for help in this.
But lots of times. Just help. Lots of times.
Yes, okay. But being specific, I think that we're all guilty of not being specific like we should. All right, let's look at Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus is a favorite story of ours, and I'll tell you why later. But in Luke 19, beginning with verse 2, Luke 19:2. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now, he was rich. Does that mean he was crooked? See, all people, a lot of people think that rich people get that way because they're crooked.
But he don't. Was. I think he was.
You think he was? Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. What does God say? God doesn't say either way, I don't think, but...
It said he gave back money.
He said he said he would. Because people might have accused him. See, sometimes we just assume people who are rich are crooked. And, you know, a tax collector who might have been crooked. He was amongst the publicans. And he sought to see Jesus who he was and could not for the press because he was of little stature. Little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. So Christ was inviting himself to Zacchaeus.
And he knew who he was.
Huh?
And he knew who he was.
And he knew who he was. Oh, yes.
Like he knows who we are.
He knows who we are. He knows everything about me. He knows what we're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's the one that prompts us to pray.
Yeah.
And anyway, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Aren't we all sinners?
Yes.
See, but Zacchaeus was a sinner and their eyes,
more they than, weren't.
No, they were religious but lost.
Right.
Okay. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him for his full. But that had to be proven, didn't it? See, people probably said that about him, if he was a tax collector, especially. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as also he also is a son of Abraham. And then one of my favorite verses in the Bible, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Is there any verse that's more simple than that? There's one syllable in each word. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's a good verse. And a child can understand that. It's one syllable words, you know? And those of us who are older than children should be able to understand it too. But, you know, the Bible makes things plain, doesn't it? And it puts it down where we are so that we can learn from it. And that verse can bring a lot of conviction to someone who is lost, because the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. So that's a verse that has monosyllables. In other words, one syllable for every word. A good verse to use to teach children about Christ. Well, the character of Zacchaeus, was he a thief, a crook? I think they were accusing him of that.
Because he was a tax collector, he automatically was assumed to be.
Well, I think, yes, are all tax collectors thieves?
That's what we all think, anyway.
Do we? What about a tax collector today?
Yeah.
Is a tax collector a thief?
We think so. We all think so.
We don't know for sure. They may be honest.
We accuse them of it, though.
They may be honest and just have a position.
Taxation is theft.
Pardon?
Yeah, I think the general thought is that there might be some good
people.
There must be a few.
There must be good people, but the problem is the system is a system that is an unconstitutional.
Yeah, and then and then we have people out there today wanting to take from the rich and give to themselves, I think, because they have a position that they want to have money coming in for. So such fraud in our government. And I think when people in the rest of the world hear about our country and the mess it's in like that, they're not going to be too happy about it. But they're going to say, what kind of a country is that? And it's in the forefront in the news all the time too, isn't it? Well, his character, was he a thief or a crook? We don't know. But most likely he might have been, because he...
Well, the reason I think he was is because he gave back all the stuff.
He was going to give back.
Yeah.
He didn't say he gave it. He says, if I've taken from anybody. That's what he said.
That doesn't mean that he had. But maybe they accused him.
It's kind of like this, you know, that when... There's stuff that you and I have done that we don't even recognize that we've done.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if I would say, listen, if I've offended anybody here today, and I probably offended everybody, you know, then you say that I apologize. I didn't mean to do that. I was speaking before I was thinking. So it sounds like he's saying that I don't think that I've stolen from anybody, but I may have.
Right. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah. So if I've done that, because if he was really just coming out clean, he'd say, listen, I have stolen, and those people I'll give fourfold.
We've probably all offended each other at different times without even
He's working trying. In a corrupt system that basically mm-hmm. takes money from people, but I don't think he's saying that he purposely...
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think it's an undecided question.
Yeah. It is.
I think it's fair.
But a tax collector is looked down on.
Exactly.
Because they're taking money from us. Okay. And his calling in Luke 19, verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy home. House. You know, isn't it great that Christ wants to be a part of our homes? And he would invite himself into everybody's home if they would be willing to have him. And I'm glad for his being part of our home. Now, why was he in the tree?
He was short.
He was short.
And so for safety, he probably would have trampled him to death.
And yes, both. Both things. He was short, but also he was...
That's right.
He was assumed to be crooked.
Yes. And the reason we like this event in Christ's life is because when my... one of my children was young and had a birthday... He fell in love with a relative's dog when they came to visit us. And I said, boy, he really needs a dog. So I went to the pound and found this nice little chihuahua. I thought we could handle the chihuahua. And he barked like everything with anybody that would come to the door. But anyway, our kids named him Zacchaeus. And he was their favorite. I have pictures of him. But you know, our kids knew about Zacchaeus in the Bible, so they could name the dog Zacchaeus. Anyway, Zacchaeus had to come down where Christ was, and Christ found Zacchaeus. You know, I think Christ is looking for people to be saved. And I know that we need to come to him But he's searching people out. And who works with him to do that? The Spirit of God.
God.
Right? Of course. And I like the name of our church, Trinity, because I believe there's a Father, a Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
They're all one God, but they're manifested in three persons, mm-hmm. because they have different functions. And Christ was willing to come. Now, some people think, well, the Father is the one who came and was born of Christ. There are people who actually think that. I had somebody tell me.
Say that again.
That the Father came, God, the essence of God came down in the person of Christ.
Mm.
I believe that there are three, because Trinity. Christ sits on the right hand of God now, doesn't he?
Yeah, we believe in the Trinity.
Yeah, I do. But I'm telling you, I said there are some people who don't. Okay, so. Now, Zacchaeus had contrition, did he not? He was willing to repay everything if he had taken anything from anyone fourfold. Now, somebody would have to prove that he did. But at least he was willing, wasn't he? You know, when people are saved, they need to write things from their past. If they have stolen, they should restore. They need to admit what they've done and who they are and make restitution. But not everybody's willing to do that. But that showed evidence of Zacchaeus' salvation, didn't it? He was willing to make things right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should be willing to make things right. You know, none of us is perfect. And we need to realize that we need to be asking for forgiveness on a regular basis when we do offend others and when we do things that are wrong. Forgiveness needs to be asked of God first, because our sins are against Him. But when we're saved, are all our past sins taken away?
Yes.
What about our present sins?
Yes.
What about our future sins?
Yes.
They're all paid for. So when we sin as a Christian, and we confess to God that we sin, what are we doing?
Acknowledging our offenses.
Yes. And also, when we sin, we cut off fellowship with God, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we confess it, we restore that fellowship. So that's what I think confession is, as a Christian. Okay? And how often do we need to do that? Once
daily.
A week?
About every minute.
About every day, at least. So, I think it's a matter of being honest with God. I think Zacchaeus was honest in his response to God, but not everybody is. Okay, the next event is, it's recorded for us, is the parable of the pounds, P-O-U-N-D-S. Now, this is not the same as the talents. Okay, this is a different event told about. In Luke 19, verses 11 through 28. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And therefore a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and deliver them 10 pounds, and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him, and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded the servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. So we see that there are consequences to using what God gives us. We may not have money given to us, but we may, and we should be accountable to God for what we do with that. But even talents, even, Lord, what have you done with what I've given you? And the second came, saying in verse 18, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. So there are rewards for being faithful. And another came, saying, Lord, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I fear thee, because thou art an austere man, and takest up that which thou layest not down, and reapest that which thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that which that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest thou not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury or with interest? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But these mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. Well, this shows the future of the disciples. They had a real future. And the master would take a long journey. And while he was on the journey, would they do the will of the master? And we need to use what God has given each of us to the maximum. The Lord is everywhere present. And that should help us to know that he's observing everything we do. He's observing everything we say. He knows what's in our hearts. So, even though we don't see him physically, he's there. And we are accountable to him. So, even though he's in his abode, wherever heaven is, it's got to be up, right? We really haven't located heaven in the universe, have we? But we know it's there. And we know that God is there, the Father, and the Son sits on his right hand. And they know everything. And the Holy Spirit works with the Father and the Son. Works in our hearts. And I'm thankful for his work. Well, this shows the fortunes of the Messianic King. What will happen to the Messianic King? Well, when he came the first time, he was rejected, wasn't he? And now he will return as the Messiah, and he will be rewarding. I'm glad I'm going to be a part of the millennium.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't really want to be in charge of cities. I'll be glad if I can teach, maybe, and help people. And I think the Lord will use whatever gifts he gave us when we were here before he comes back. I think we'll be able to use those. But whatever, I'm willing to do anything. I'm willing to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. But, you know, I'm going to be doing something. And I'm glad that I have a part. And that God has a plan for me. When life ends, that's not the end. There's a future. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Yeah.
One of our missionaries went to be with the Lord, and we attended his memorial service last Saturday. And not yesterday, but a week ago. And he served the Lord for many years. He was 83, and we loved him. And we love his family, and his wife's still with us. She told me at the viewing that when she got there, she was going to chew him out for going before she did. Well, not that he had any choice in the matter either, but, you know, God has a plan, and he has worked for Mrs. Hickok to do yet. And I'm sure it's going to be hard for her, because I think they were married 50 some years at least. I can't remember. My wife and I have been married for 61 years, and June the 6th, this coming week, we'll be married for 62 years.
Amen.
And I'm glad for those 62 years, and I'm not ready to turn her in yet. I was thanking the Lord yesterday for the life that he's given both of us, and that we're still able to get around like we can't do, and help one another, and we're still able to serve the Lord somewhat. But faith gives responsibility. And I think we should not be bragging on ourselves. We should be bragging on the Lord and what he does and what he's done, what he's going to do. I think the millennium is going to be quite a time in the future. And it's not too far away. I believe we're in the end times.
Amen.
And I believe that Christ could come back anytime. You know, I've heard even unsaved people tell me, you know, I think it's time for God to come back. They don't know much about the scripture like maybe they should, but they say, it's about time for God to return again. Even so, unsaved people even see that. But you know, he is going to come again. And he's going to set up his kingdom, and he's going to rule. And I don't know all the ins and outs about that, and I've taught prophecy many times, both from the Old and New Testaments. And there are a lot of events in prophecy. But everything so far that's been prophesied has come to pass exactly as it was prophesied. So guess what do you think about the future? Everything that's prophesied about the future is going to happen exactly as he prophesied too. So I'm just thankful for the Lord and his goodness. Well, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your life as you came here, Lord Jesus, and you were willing to follow through. And you came to seek and to save that which was lost, and you knew that the cross was coming, and yet you still followed through and gave your life so that we could have salvation. You paid the ransom price for salvation with your blood, and I'm thankful. And I pray that you bless our service to follow. We thank you for the preaching of the word and pray that our hearts will be open and we'll be able to comprehend the truths that our master has for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.